Hello, friends and church leaders, and Happy New Year! Welcome to another episode of the Effective Church Leaders Podcast. We're so glad you're here. We are your hosts, Becky and Carrie Holton.
That's right.
And hon, before we get started, I just have to say you're looking pretty good over there. You're looking all dapper. You got a little sweater on. You got your Matt Damon hair going over there. You're just looking pretty cute there.
Well, thank you. Well, it's been a special day around here. We were making a video course, mm-hmm. and today we were shooting the course, so I had to put on my best clothes and my best Matt Damon look.
You got it going, huh? Yeah. You got it going. Another course.
We're excited about it. You know, this one is called Church on a Mission, and it's all about the need for churches to have a mission, a clearly articulated, memorable mission, one that motivates people and inspires people, and then how to create a mission statement that everyone can learn about and be on the same page about. But we're really excited about it. I think our yeah. listeners will find it to be very helpful.
Well, and to me, it's very timely, because not only is it good to always have a mission and know what you're doing, but as the last couple of years have unbuckled a lot of things, I think it's a good time to be looking into that. And that kind of goes in, I think, with what we're talking about today.
Yeah. And let's start off talking about what we're going to talk about today. Let me ask you a few questions here.
Okay.
They're kind of rhetorical, but I think you'll get the point. Do you know anyone in ministry who is tired?
Check.
Burned out?
Check.
Maybe even a little depressed?
Check, check.
Yeah. Maybe someone who has been, or especially someone who has been in a particular ministry role for a long time. Someone who has become maybe numb to the challenges and the work of ministry. Someone who is in need of fresh energy. Do you know anybody like that?
Oh, boy. I sure do. I mean, most people know I work with missionaries, and bless their hearts, they're just worn out. Mm-hmm. We talk with ministers every week, and they're just worn to a fare-thee well, as our grandmother used to say. And I just especially think that this exhaustion, burnout, is the season we're in. You know, with the pandemic and everything, I think you can easily see how there might be many church leaders who are in need of a fresh wind, we might say, maybe a new spurt of energy.
Yeah, I think so too. And I might even say, you know, I can see how some may have lost their passion for ministry.
I think so.
Or at least their passion for ministry has waned a little bit, because, you know, ministry is tough work. It's tiring work.
Yes.
And think of it, in ministry, there really is no finish line. You know, listeners, we used to teach, Becky and I, on the college campus, and this was one thing that we so much appreciated about Christian education. There was a start date and a finish date.
Oh, boy, putting those grades in and hit send, and it was done for the semester.
Such a relief, yes. But that's not the way it is in ministry, is it?
No,
not at all. Sundays never stop coming. There is always more ministry to do. It's like there's never any finish line.
Right.
And I must tell you, you've heard me say this before, and I'll just confess to some of our listeners that there were times when I was a full-time minister when I wondered what it would be like to do something different. I always saw myself driving a truck across the country, or maybe being a UPS driver. I mean, you work hard 8-9 hours a day, and then you go home. And at the end of the day, you're finished with that day's work, and you know that the day's work is over, and you can see what you've accomplished. And I've wondered what it might be like to have a job like that.
Well, that dream probably had a whole shot in it with UPS drivers who probably have been working 12 to 14-hour days pandemic.
Probably
but,
so.
But on True Confessions, I would have to, I don't know if I ever said this to you, but I remember waiting in line, I think it was at a Burger King one time with the kids, and because all those years of ministry, it sometimes just got really tiring, and I would watch, maybe at Starbucks, the barista making coffee and just wonder what it would be like just to go there and make some coffee or flip some hamburgers and then just go home. It just sounded kind of nice, which was delusional, but I'm right there with you. You had those thoughts because you're just tired.
My guess is every minister and every spouse that works in ministry knows exactly what we're talking about.
Right, right.
It's hard work. It is wearying. It'll wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned this before. It's a great quote from Batzel Barrett Baxter, who's one of the great preachers of yesteryear, and I've used this before. I just think it's so good. He said, "The tyranny of preaching is that Sunday comes every 7 days." And they come one right after another. I mean, there's no pause.
Oh, my goodness. All those years in ministry, I was absolutely sure that there were at least two Sundays a week. I was just sure of it.
I know what you mean.
Well, you turn around and it was just time to do it all over again. But anyway, listeners, today we want to discuss the question, how can you renew your passion for ministry? Or we might say, how can we make a fresh start? Mm-hmm. Don't you think there are some church leaders, some ministers, elders, ministry leaders, leaders in the pews who are thinking, wow, I need to make a fresh start. But honestly, I just don't have much energy to even make a fresh start. And I'm not even sure if I have energy for this work anymore.
Oh, sure. And especially as we begin a new year after what we've been through. I mean, okay, 2020 wasn't so great. And 2021 wasn't much better, if any better.
Yeah, we got our hopes up too on that one.
Yeah,
so.
And maybe a change of the calendar might give us renewed energy and passion for ministry, but you know, I don't know what has really changed. That may be what some ministry leaders and church leaders are thinking right now. What has really changed?
Well, right, and we've kind of had 2 years of not change, and like I mentioned last year, we thought it might be better, but why get your hopes up again? And I think that has a deflating effect on a person too. And I really believe this is a relevant discussion for those who may have become bored in their role, or who are just worn out. They're just exhausted, or who have, worse, become burned out. So let's get into this. What will help church leaders to get a fresh start?
Okay, yeah, let's offer some suggestions. And the first one is this. We think that it starts with a mindset change.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a different perspective or a different view of your ministry role, of what you're trying to accomplish. And let me give you some examples. Let us give you some examples. Let's say that you are a teaching minister. Instead of thinking of your work as, okay, I've got to prepare another lesson for Sunday. My work is just preparing lessons. Don't think of it that way. Think of it as another opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with others. Or let's say that you are an involvement minister or maybe a discipleship minister. Instead of viewing your work as getting more people to volunteer for ministry in your church, sometimes like pulling hair, pulling teeth. I mean, it's hard to find volunteers sometimes. Well, I've got to go find some more volunteers. Instead of seeing your work as that, think of it as helping people take their next steps in spiritual growth.
Or let's say that you're a children's minister. Instead of thinking of all the activities you need to plan and execute and materials to order and more volunteers to get, maybe you can change your mind regarding your ministry. Because really, a children's minister, it's all about helping people come to know Jesus in their formative years. Mm-hmm. It is about helping little hearts learn information about Jesus that could change the rest of their lives. That's what the children's ministry is. It's not a babysitting service. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a mindset change, just a different way of looking at your ministry.
There's a word for that, and you would really know this. Tell us.
Well, the word that is often used, and the Bible talks about it a lot, it's called reframe.
Mm-hmm.
It's reframing your thoughts. Do you remember one of those houses we moved into in New Mexico, and the people that had lived there that we bought the house from, they so kindly had left the garage completely full of junk they didn't want to take with them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in our walkthrough, we forgot to look in the garage. So we decided we had to clean out the garage before we could put a car in there. And eventually we started going through it. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a lot of junk we threw in the dumpster. And I ran across a picture and I kind of dusted it off. And the picture frame was all beat up and kind of gaudy looking. But I dusted off the picture and it was, I believe it was flowers. It was pretty enough that I said, I'm going to come back to this and look at it sometime. And I did. Probably many months later, I went back. I was out there and I thought, you know, this is a pretty picture. Once I dusted that picture off. So I popped the frame off and I cleaned the picture and I got a new frame, and it was beautiful. It hung in our home for many years. Now that's a literal reframing, mm-hmm. obviously, mm-hmm. but that's what it is about taking a thought, taking a task and taking off an old framing, an old way of framing.
An old way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Taking that old way of looking at that task or picture and looking at it in a different way, mm-hmm. or a new way.
Good.
And I think what we're saying is that church leaders, they might want to go through that process. Okay, that's an old way to look at that. It's worn out. It's tired. It may not be accurate. What new way can I look at that role? And I would add, too, that as new energy for ministry comes with a new mindset or a mind change, one way to do that is so very important in church work is to think about your calling. Mm-hmm. All of us were called. We felt called. We believed that we were asked to be in a role. We were ordained by God for a person who's an elder or a shepherd. Missionaries have believe that they have received a call from God. It's really important when you're reframing something is thinking about that mind shift of why you actually agreed to do this, mm-hmm. long ago. Was I called by God? And we will know that we were. And it's important to remember why. That is, mm-hmm. such a noble, important pursuit. In fact, I always ask missionaries that I work with to write down their calling, because there will be days that come that they will be discouraged and tired and wonder if they've made the worst decision of their life. And if they've written it down, they can go back and read it. And it's just revitalizing.
I like that suggestion about seeing your work as a calling. I mean, so often we see our work as a list of tasks that we need to complete, mm-hmm. instead of seeing them as a calling. You're talking about reframing what we have to do and seeing it as a calling from God. That gives it a nobility that just a simple task doesn't have.
Well, and we could even drive this down a little bit deeper. When we're talking about having to get volunteers, we are God's instrument to bring a calling into someone's life. And to identify the talents and abilities that God has blessed them with, and to tell them that we see that they have skills from God to use in this place to make a difference in the kingdom. It is not about getting someone that's warm or has a pulse to fulfill a job. It's right. about helping them answer a call by God to be kingdom workers.
Good. Well,
that's
a
reframe on getting volunteers.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. I kind of like this idea. It's not as noble, I think, as yours was, as getting a calling. But if there are church leaders who are tired and feeling bored with their work and need some fresh energy, one thing they might do, besides see it as a calling, they might remember what it was like when they began that new ministry or when they began that new role. Think about what it was like on day one of that particular job. Do you remember what it was like in your life when you first started a job, for example? You, mm-hmm. were all excited, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you went and you wanted to organize the office just so. The books on the shelves.
Oh, your mind was exploding,
yes.
with ideas, what you wanted,
yes.
to do. Yeah.
You were wanting to set goals for the future and dream about the future. And you wanted to meet the staff, if you were a minister, for example. You want to meet the staff and make the best impression that you could. And you know you're starting to build relationships, and new relationships were exciting. Just think about what it was like on the first day on the job and see if you can remember what it was like. And let those images and those pictures give you some refueling.
You know, that's actually what John wrote in Revelation about to one of the churches of Asia. I don't remember which one, you would know. To remember your first love. Mm-hmm. To go back and remember what it was like when you fell in love with Jesus and became a Christian. What it was like when you said, oh my goodness, I've been asked to lead the small groups ministry and all the ideas you have. Focus on the calling, focus on the dream instead of some of the disappointments and the exhaustion. There will always be bumps in the road with ministry, but to really focus on that calling. You know, and I think instead of thinking, well, I have to do this, you know, I've got to start this back up again. Instead, think more about, not only is this something that I get to do, it is something I've been called to do. This is sacred work. What would happen if this work had never been done in my life? You know, I used to just encourage all of our family to sit down and watch It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas, and we haven't done it in a while, and you and I did that this year, and it was, I really enjoyed it all over again to go back and see, you know, God is using you to make a difference in this ministry and to feel honored and blessed. Yes, challenged and at times, but honored and blessed you get to do this.
Good. Okay. Change your mindset. That's our first suggestion. Honey, why don't you give us another recommendation?
Okay. Recommendation number two is to consider what the win is for your role. I think when you have clarity on what the win is, what is the success for your role, that'll just kind of fill you up with fresh energy for that role, don't you?
I do.
And when you've got an end point, you know.
I like the way you worded that. I mean, how often do we see the success? How often do we see the victory, the win, the accomplishment of some project or some goal? I like that suggestion. Consider what the win is for your role. And just here, maybe we would recommend that church leaders create sort of a one-sentence job description that reminds them of the goal, the target, what it is you are trying to accomplish. For example, if you are a shepherd in a local congregation, your one-sentence job description might be, I want to visit two families this month and encourage them in their faith and in their spiritual growth. Actually getting involved in the lives of two families and encouraging them in their walk with the Lord would be the win. I mean, that would be a great success to be able to picture, I did something in this time period. I accomplished something, and I see the win. Or let's say that you're a teaching minister. Maybe your one-sentence job description could be, I will preach a short series of sermons on the faithfulness of God. You would have clarity on what the win was as you accomplish that.
Right. I think that's a really good point. And just as a point of clarification, we don't want to confuse our listeners. We talk about a job description, and a job description is usually a big thing that can be overwhelming, everything that you do on the job. I think what we're talking about is like a one-week job description or a one-week task, that this is what I hope to do in this time, this particular time frame. I just think a lot of church leaders don't have clarity on what they're trying to do. They don't have clarity on the win. We've already mentioned that, you know, there's absolutely no finish line in ministry. And it's really easy to become really tired when one job rolls into another and it just keeps going on forever. But if we were to break ministry down into measurable goals or projects and then articulate the win, the success, the point of excellence, I can see how that could really provide energy and enthusiasm for ministry. You could put a period somewhere, you know, because in ministry, a lot of things just get all rolled together. And it may just be in your own mind that you'll need to have that point of celebration, really.
That's true, and I'm guessing that rarely are they able to point to a victory or a success or a win. And it may be because their job description is so huge and so overwhelming that there may be times when they just need to minimize and simplify and say, oh, here's the win in this particular situation. I'll work toward that win, and then when I see the win, I know that I've accomplished something by the grace and strength of God, and that will fill me with new energy. That's what we're saying here.
There's just something so invigorating about completing a task.
Right.
And when there is so much going on in ministry, if there hasn't been a clear definition of a goal, and that's kind of been articulated either in your own calendar or you and your spouse or your ministry group, you know, there's not a moment of saying, thank you, God, for getting into this point, celebrating an end. And I just think that's really important.
Right. Well, let's talk about a third recommendation. Here it is. Give yourself a new start with your calendar.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, expand a little bit more about that. What kind of a new start are you talking about?
Yeah, well, let me give you some suggestions, give our listeners some suggestions. We've talked about ministry not having a finish line, not having an ending. Well, how about creating a starting line and a finish line on your calendar? How about identifying a start date and an end date for the various projects of ministry?
Yeah, I like that. And I think also on that calendar, reserve time to just think.
Good.
To be creative, to nurture your own spiritual health. This has to be scheduled or it just won't happen.
Right. You know, actually, honey, we're just talking about managing your schedule.
Right.
About making a new start with your calendar, prioritizing your schedule. And just here, we might recommend a block schedule in which you plan to do certain activities on certain days of the week. You know, there might be a day reserved for meetings. There might be one reserved for study, one for lesson preparation, one for writing, one for visiting others, or maybe one evening a week for this task or that task. It's really all about planning your schedule so that you know that on certain days you are doing X.
Well, I think for ministers, there must be blocks of time for study.
Right.
That's an absolute necessity. And I think it's sometimes very hard for ministers to have that time because of all the people that used to come into offices or the other calls that had to be made. But I think that block scheduling is vital for ministers for study time.
You know, reserving time for priorities, I just think that's very important.
Me too.
And reserving time to just think, as you said. A lot of times we don't really reserve time to just sit still and think and plan for the future.
We don't. And I don't think we talk about making time to think very often.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of strange. You know, recently I got to hold our grandson while he took a nap. And as I sat there for an hour, yeah, I probably should have laid him down, but I didn't. it struck me how often I don't just sit without anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the thoughts, of course, I was watching him, and it was just a really special hour. But I had time to think and to reflect, and that was a thought that I had, was how little time. We're just so busy going from thing to thing to thing to thing that we really don't have time to just think.
I think we should plan every week for a time when we just take a nap mm-hmm. with our grandson, don't you?
Actually, I didn't take... Well, yeah, I did. I think I dozed off for a few minutes. But yeah, I'm okay with that idea. But I have a question for you, you know, about making a new start on that calendar of yours. Do you have things posted on your calendar, you know, things that we can, like, look forward to? You know, like maybe a break or a vacation or going to a movie or a trip or, hey, out to dinner?
Okay, I get the point. Well, I think you raise a good point, and that is one way we can make a new start on the calendar is to post things on that calendar that we can look forward to. So I'm with you on that. We should do that.
Mm-hmm.
A vacation, a trip, yes, and it might even be a ministry opportunity that brings life and fresh energy.
Or going to visit some friends of ours
yes.
in another town, or colleagues in another church,
good.
Or even a special conference or a weekend retreat.
Wouldn't it be great if ministers were encouraged to go on a weekend retreat with other ministers every year or so?
Oh my, yes.
Of course, that'd be true of all church leaders, whether they're ministry leaders or elders or deacons or whatever. If they were encouraged to just go on a retreat, a weekend retreat with people of like mind who share similar job descriptions, I think that'd be invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know of churches that every quarter they allow their teaching minister to take one Sunday off, and it's usually the month that has five Sundays in it. And
idea.
On that fifth Sunday, they say, you can take that day off. You can relax and kind of reinvigorate. We'll find someone else to deliver the word for us that day. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about giving yourself a new start with your calendar. Now, let's hurry on to a fourth suggestion, babe. What do you think?
Well, this one is similar to our first one of changing your mindset. And this fourth suggestion is this: make an advanced decision about your attitude in ministry.
Okay, well, advanced decision about your attitude. Why don't you flesh that out for us? What does that look like?
I think what we're just really saying is you say to yourself, you know, nothing is going to get me down today, or no matter what happens today, I am not going to let anything discourage me in my work. Or I know that I have had trouble before with that rather cantankerous Christian brother of mine, but not today. I'm not going to let him get under my skin. And God, I know that you are in me and you are greater than he who is in the world, and you will help me. Mm-hmm. And today, you and I, we're not going to get down. With your help, I'm not getting down.
So you're talking about just sort of planning in advance how you're going to act or how you're going to react, right? Just some pre-planning of attitudes.
Well, I think it's important to make an advanced decision. Think about it, about the attitude that you're asking God to help you with. I mean, sometimes it's really helpful to think and pray about certain situations or even just how you want your attitude to be for the day. Because typically if we're just left to our own devices or shooting from the hip, it doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. And where we think and pray about and we ask God's Spirit to give us strength to live a certain way, it will always go so much mm-hmm. better. But let's move on. We're about to run long, and I know we want to get this final recommendation is. Why don't you share what our fifth recommendation is for those who are just longing and yearning to renew their passion for ministry?
Sure. I think this suggestion may be the most important one, maybe the most fundamental, the most basic one of all, and that is work on your friendship, your personal relationship with God. Mm. We're talking now about devoting time to being in the Word of God and in prayer. And we have all experienced this, the new energy that comes with meeting up with God, with spending time in His Word, with allowing the Spirit of God to invigorate us, to give us a new thought maybe, or a new viewpoint of Scripture, or, well, just time spent in the Word and in prayer. It just does so much for our energy level, for our zeal, for our spirit. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
I know that teaching and preaching ministers can surely understand what I'm about to say. There were times when I was a full-time minister. I had a lesson to prepare on Sunday morning. I had a lesson to prepare for Sunday night. I had one to prepare for Wednesday night. Oftentimes I had a Bible class on Sunday morning, and then there was a small group meeting, a lesson to prepare, and it seemed like all of my time was spent in preparing lessons or preparing sermons, and I didn't really devote much time to personal study and to time in prayer for time alone with God. And I know that ministers feel that same problem, that they're always preparing lessons for other people, but they're never in the Word for themselves. They never nurture their own spiritual health.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading something Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote many, many years ago, and he was talking about this. He was saying, if I can paraphrase his thought, that when spiritual leaders don't go to God to have their needs met and to be nourished by God, to be loved by God, to be disciplined by God, to be affirmed by God, they will turn to the people that they're leading. They will turn to the sheep, and they will expect the sheep to give them what only God can give them. And that becomes spiritually abusive. For one thing, those people can never give a minister what only God can give, and he is in essence feeding off of the sheep. It's a form of spiritual cannibalism. Those are my words, not his. And without that personal time with God, you will turn to get those other needs met in other places that are very, very unhealthy and hurtful to other people. And that is especially important for church leaders to remember. So we really are encouraging church leaders to develop a daily appointment with God. And it's just so important to reserve time in your weekly schedule to feed your soul, to nurture your own spiritual life, which is vastly different than lesson and sermon preparation.
Right.
We have all experienced what God can do when we commune with God in Bible study and prayer and humbling ourselves.
Makes
to
a
God
difference,
and
doesn't
to
it?
His leading. Mm-hmm. We've all experienced that. So today we've talked about working on our personal relationship with God in prayer and meditation and Bible study. We've talked about making some advanced decisions about the attitude that we hope to have for a day. We've talked about an intentional look at the calendar, about getting clarity on what the win is for your role, and about changing your mindset. I'm guessing you got a couple of closing thoughts over there.
I'll try to be quick because I know we've run long.
I know.
Well, I do have some closing thoughts. We would also encourage church leaders who are tired, possibly bored, who have lost energy and passion for their role, to talk with someone about it. If you are a minister, for example, can you talk with your shepherds about how you are feeling? Maybe you could speak up about what would make you love your role again. Maybe you need a new challenge at your church, and the first step would be to speak with others about it. We would say, don't be afraid to speak up about how you are feeling or what you think you need or about what might help you to renew your passion for your role. Don't be afraid, because we really do believe you will find listening ears who are eager to help and who understand. They do understand what you are dealing with, because they too have been weary in ministry and have likely needed to make a fresh start in their own lives and in their own ministries. They can help. So, in closing, I think I would say, folks, don't be afraid to share how you're feeling with someone else. You're going to find a brother or someone, a sister in that case, who will come alongside you and say, you know, I know how you feel, and I've been through that, and here's what we might try to help you.
Well, it's give people the opportunity to obey a commandment, and that is to help carry each other's burdens.
Good job.
Well, thank you, friends, for joining us for this episode of the Effective Church Leaders Podcast. We exist to provide support for churches and ministry leaders, so don't hesitate to contact us and let us know who we may support in your ministry. And until next time, God bless you.